I think we sang this one a couple of weeks ago. I'd like you to read along with me just the lyrics of Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. Today's Advent candle is the candle of love. And to be honest, there were many, many options for today's message. We could have spoken and drawn our attention and been encouraged in our faith by any one of these. God's love for us. Our love for God. Love for one another. We could have taken any one of the texts that say God is love. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not seek its own. All of chapter 13, right? If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Perfect love casts out fear. There is a time to love and a time to hate. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. What can separate us from the love of God? Height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate evil, cling to what is good. A friend loves at all times. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Love covers a multitude of sin. Any one of those would have been an appropriate topic for the idea of this candle, love. And all of those would be well worth our time. Following the strains of each of those, from Genesis through the manger to the cross, all the way to Revelation. But for this morning and for this Advent season, I would like to take a look at two psalms. The first is Psalm 136, so please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. We're not going to spend a great deal of time here in this particular psalm, but it will give us a decent backdrop in which to consider the second psalm for this morning. And it's a very interesting one. I'm just going to read the first nine verses. Actually, I'll just read them. Follow along with me. Psalm 136, the first nine verses. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who alone does great works, great wonders, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the heavens with skill, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his loving kindness is everlasting. To him who made the great lights, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The sun to rule by day, for his loving kindness is everlasting. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his loving kindness is everlasting. We notice right away the repeated stanza, His loving kindness is everlasting. Every single verse in this psalm ends that way. It has that refrain. And quite possibly, this was used at ancient church as a responsive reading. When they would come together in temple, the priest up front would say this in the audience. Those who gathered in the congregation at some point would do the refrain, or they did it with like two choir lofts kind of facing each other, and they would go back and forth. So let's do that. Let's do that again. Let's do that responsively. Let's do it like they would have in olden days. I'm going to say the first phrase, and you say the second. Say it like you mean it. Not because it's easy, but say it like you mean it. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Okay, I don't know what that was. Give thanks to the God of God. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. To Him who alone does great wonders. To Him who made the heavens with skill. To Him who spread out the earth above the waters. To Him who made the great lights. The sun to rule by day. And the moon and the stars to rule by night. Verses 1 through 3 of this psalm are a call to praise and worship. They're a call from the psalmist to enter into the praise of God. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. In verses 4 through 9, which we read, there are praises and thanksgiving for the created order, that God is the creator. In verses 10 through 15, it is calling for praising of God because He delivered His people. He delivered them out of all of their troubles. He delivered them from the Egyptians. In 16 through 22, there is praise for God and His providential care and the way in which He has blessed His people with life and other things. And then verses 23 through 26 are general just lifting up of praises to Almighty God, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The artistic palette which the psalmist paints with very broad strokes that are the causes to praise God burst forth with a glorious refrain of His loving kindness. We generally don't think of the fact that God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, or that He sent the angel of death to deliver the people of Israel, or how it is that He provides for them manna in the wilderness, or all of those kinds of things as an attribute or as a consequence that would lead to a reflection upon His loving kindness, which is everlasting. Everything that God does is reflective of that thing about Him, that His loving kindness lasts forever. Now, yesterday, in men's breakfast, John Piper mentioned in the last video, the DVD, a particularly pointed aspect of this kind of praise in the life of the follower of Christ. And he drew our attention to Psalm 63, so please turn with me there. Psalm 63. Eleven verses. This is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, You are my God. I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. So I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul is steadfast as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, for You have been my help. and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for the foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. Cycle back with me to just verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. David is in the wilderness. He wrote that at the top of this psalm. I mentioned that before. Whenever there's a title like that, in small block letters, David wrote that, or the psalmist wrote that. That is actually part of Scripture. Should always read that. David was in the wilderness. It was a harsh, dry, desolate place. And most often in Scripture, whether it's a metaphor or realistic, it's not a good place to be. The Israelites wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. Here, David is either running from Saul, who wants to kill him, or his son Absalom, who also wants to kill him. And so verse 3 reveals to us David's deepest thought with regard to God. Because your loving kindness is better to me than life, my lips will praise you. Better than life. Better than life is God's love. Better than life is your love, O God. Better than being king, David says. Better than having kids, even if one of them is trying to kill me right now. I mean, if that's the occurrence. Better than all of the rest of the things in his life. With the result that David will praise him. God's loving kindness results in his worship. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's the reality of the situation. David is probably very, very thirsty physically. He's in a harsh place, in a dry and weary land. And he says, I thirst for you. Better than life. If Saul kills me, if Absalom kills me, if the wilderness, if I die here alone and desolate, better than life is having you. And my lips will praise you. Not for any of the received blessings or gifts of God. He doesn't even praise God here for the fact that God is love. That's what Dr. Piper pointed out. He praises God in his very being and who he actually is. God's loving kindness results in David's worship. Notice it isn't the stuff of life that David praises, nor is it even the blessing of God that David praises. Rather, it is his intent is upon God himself. He makes much of God. He worships him. So what do you do in Advent? How has your Advent been? It's the last Sunday of Advent. We got one more week and then it's Christmas. Maybe we should focus on that this week. Maybe from, you know, the time you leave here and you come back to see the children's program, and I'm sure you're going to be proud of your kids. I'm sure they're going to do a wonderful job. And it doesn't really matter. I mean, they could fall asleep, they could puke on the stage, they could, you know, do all kinds of weird stuff. You know, cows could moo and dance around and not pay attention to their lines, and we're still going to love them and we're going to praise God, right? I mean, we're just going to be blessed. Doesn't matter. Some of you are hoping, oh, please don't make it my kid who pukes. It doesn't really matter, right? I mean, we love it. We do it every year. There's a reason for that. Is the reason because our kids are great? Is the reason because it's tradition to do it at Christmas? Or is it because the loving kindness of the Lord is great? It's better than life. You coming here to watch your kids to worship? I hope so. I would encourage you to do that, to worship Almighty God through the message that they give about who He is. Same thing with you kids who are in the program. Maybe you know, you're going to be bored. Maybe you're going to forget your lines. Are you here, kids, doing this because of your love for God? Because God is, you want to make much of Him? Not so you can watch it on video afterwards again and again and again? Simple graces and pleasures. In this last week, what is the source of your love going to be? Well, really, all along, we've really been trying to hit that. When we started with the first candle of hope, where is hope found? Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Where is hope found? Where is peace found? What is the source of your joy? What is the source of your love? I mentioned last week when we were talking about joy, you know, the basketball, the joy there, and the unjoy of, you know, the people that were around me and that kind of thing. And I thought about that all week this week, about saying that and what the source was and thinking about that. And then things hit you in life. Things just come across the headlines and you scratch your head. Our current sitting president's wife, our first lady, has openly declared with pride that she and her husband now are entering into and understand what it's like to feel hopelessness. And at first, you know, the first lady of the greatest nation on the face of this earth, okay, we can argue about that, but I live here, it's the greatest one, okay? Not because I live here. That's not what makes it great. I don't mean that. But the first lady has said that she and her husband, who leads the free world, are hopeless. Now, does that make you angry? Shouldn't it make you sad? That in the season of Advent, in a public voice, she has declared hopelessness in the season of hope. That is just utterly sad, and I pity her, because her source of hope is not in God. I don't know where her source of hope is. Wouldn't have mattered. I mean, maybe if Hillary would have won the election, maybe she would have had hope. I don't know. But that's just really a poor source of hope, which is only temporary. Our hope is eternal. Our hope is everlasting, because His loving kindness is everlasting. Everlasting. Creation, deliverance, blessing, providential care, all of it because of who He is. We have hope and joy and peace and love. That's our source. Where is your source? What about joy? I have a particular joy. And you know this, and I'll say this every year as long as I'm able and I remember. Wednesday, for me, is one of the greatest days of the year. It's the first day of winter. Do you know what that means? It means we're getting more daylight. And I like that. Now, that might seem very trivial to most people, that I would mark Wednesday the 21st as a great day. Because there are people who are battling cancer, people who are grieving the loss of loved ones this year. And it might seem very trivial to celebrate and be joyous over that day. But beloved, here it is. Where's the source of my joy? Where is God? Is God also going to be the object of my joy in that small thing? Yes, He should, because that's the way He designed it. He set the world in order so that as the earth rotates around the sun and we get to Wednesday, the sun begins to tip on its axis back towards the sun. Who did that? God did that. Because His loving kindness is everlasting, I can praise Him and have joy over that simple fact. Without diminishing the grief and the loss and the struggle of anybody who's facing anything. David was in the wilderness. His son was trying to kill him, or Saul. He was in a desolate place, and he says, "Better than life is your loving kindness." I love men's breakfast on Saturday morning We have a good time. We talk about stuff we probably shouldn't talk about at times. It's fun. We laugh, we make fun of each other, all that kind of stuff. We're not having men's breakfast on Saturday for the next two Saturdays. We canceled it. Okay, so there's no men's breakfast. I love the fact that I get to sleep in, stay warm and toasty. Of course, my dog's going to wake me up, the jerk, you know, make me go out in the cold so he can go take care of just regular life stuff where I can find hope and joy because I can come together and fellowship with my brothers in Christ because of who God is and what he has provided. And as the source and object of my joy, I can stay in bed and stay warm and snuggle and do all that kind of stuff and not have to get up too. It's nice. And that's not trivial. That's a gift from God. I see that a lot of people here have gone to Bedside Baptist this morning. Okay, we see some empty holes, you know, with Sister Sheets and Brother Pillow. They've stayed in bed because of the cold. No, I'm only kidding. I don't know where they are. That's all right. Okay. I bought this at Encore. You woo! Yeah, awesome. Awesome sauce because I needed a new Christmas tie. Okay. And it's green. I don't have anything that's green. Well, I do, but it's not a good green. And so I was asking, I think it was Sheila that said, well, do you have anything that's powder blue? And I had tan pants on this morning, and my wife said, those don't match a gray shirt, and especially with that green tie. And I pouted and stomped my foot and went and changed my pants. But then I discovered something after I bought the tie. Not only is it a Christmas tie, but guess what? Okay, it plays Jingle Bells. There's a bonus, okay? None of you little people come up and punch me in the stomach to make it play. Don't be hitting me in the stomach today to make it play. Okay, back to seriousness. You know, when people are hopeless, oh, cool, that's awesome. He's got one that lights up. I want one of those. When you and I encounter, in our own lives as well, each other, And there's a sense of hopelessness, there's a sense of joylessness, there's no peace, no peace on earth, I said, and things don't, when the opposite of those things happen in our lives, we should help each other remember what is the source and object of all of those things. You know, life can get pretty dire, okay? You can go and get the report from the doctor that growth on your forehead is cancerous and it doesn't look good. That you have congestive heart failure and all of those things that we don't want to hear from our doctors. We're grateful that God has blessed us with people who can do that, who know those things and can tell us those things. But really, where are we going to place our hope? When people express hopelessness on a national level, give them Jesus. Metaphorically, the dark day of winter comes to an end. Specifically, God created it that way. No matter what whatever the norm is in life, given enough time, I've said this repeatedly, given enough time, we'll lose everything. We'll lose absolutely everything. Some of us in this room in just a number of years are going to be in a memory unit somewhere. Not knowing who our kids are, not knowing our own names. It's difficult to see people go through that. But this life is temporary, beloved, and this is the season of hope and joy and peace and love. But you know, I don't want to end there. I don't want Advent to end next week. Because Jesus Christ, who has come, and who is announced by the angels, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Does the steadfast love of the Lord, the joy that he brings, the source of our hope, the object of our peace, create in you and me what it created in David, a desire to worship and praise him with our lips better than anything else. High above every gift that's given, every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, every PS4, every whatever, Lincoln Log. Do they still have Lincoln Logs? I hope they still have Lincoln Logs. Those are cool. Every musical tie, every doctor's report, every above everything is God's loving kindness, and that will cause us to praise Him while we have life. Advent should be every day of the year, right? That doesn't diminish the difficulties. It doesn't diminish the situations. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of knowing who God is. It's a matter of cherishing Him and worshiping and adoring Him rather than the things that He brings, the things that He gives. And so that would be my encouragement today. No matter what you read, no matter what you hear, no matter the difficulties of life, they're real, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, encourage one another. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so we do that. We come before the Lord together as His children, as His people gathered in this place to pray together for the needs of those around us, and to praise Him for the things that He has blessed us with because of who He is.